Let's go to New Hampshire now, still feeling the hangover of last night's primary. In their victory speeches, both Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders talked about their huge victories, Trump getting more than a third of all Republican votes. He won in just about every demographic. Nearly 4 in 10 of voters who didn't attend college voted for Trump, but also a third of those who did. And Bernie Sanders fared just as well, if not better, winning 60% of Democratic votes as of this morning. Let's take a closer look with NPR political correspondent Don Gagne, covering the GOP. Hi, Don.
Hi there.
And Elsa Chang, who is watching the Democrats. Welcome to you as well, Elsa.
Hey, thanks.
And I want to start with where you both were last night and just the feelings in the room. Don, where were you?
I was with the Jeb Bush campaign at their headquarters. And strangely enough, he ended up in fourth place, and it kind of felt like a victory party. That tells you a lot about how the Bush campaign has gone so far in the past
right.
6 months or so.
But he did do better than he probably felt he might after that please clap line early in the
exactly.
campaign.
Exactly. And he survives. He survives, and he's on to South Carolina.
Elsa Chang, where were you?
I was at Bernie Sanders' headquarters last night.
Yeah.
So it was, as you can imagine, it was quite a huge party. I mean, people were streaming in. It was ticketed for 1,000 people. There was so much dancing. It was a high school gymnasium. And at one point, I felt like I was at a high school dance because I was in a gym. Everyone was dancing. The bleachers were full of people watching the people dancing. Like, so I was thinking, like, oh, those are the wallflowers and the partiers are in the middle. But actually, people on the bleachers started dancing, too. It was just wild and happy and exuberant.
Well, you have to remember, he was 50 points behind not that long ago. So let's take
That's
a closer
right.
look. Don, start with the Republicans. Donald Trump ended up with 35% of the vote, as we said, and seemed to have found his ground game in New Hampshire, or at least he said so. And we remember in Iowa, he kind of was doing the huge arenas without knocking on doors. Let's listen to what he said last night.
You know, we learned a lot about ground games in 1 week. I have to tell you that.
Don, is that true? Because people were still saying, did Donald Trump have a ground game? Did he have people on the phone? Did he go to the smaller venues?
He did not go to smaller venues. He held some smaller events. He held one at an Elks Lodge that only held a few hundred people. That was by far the smallest one. What he did was he got those people who support him to turn out. But I didn't see the usual trappings of a ground game. You didn't see the vans loading people up, picking people up from, you know, the union halls or the senior center or the school. So those things weren't visible. But he did get people to get in their cars and get to the bowling places. So I guess that's a ground game.
He inspired them to do that. But does he change the game, which is what everybody was asking? Is Donald Trump going to change the game, or are other candidates going to say, wow? Or is this just a technique that can only apply to the star of a reality show?
I think he's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And we've not seen the likes of him, and perhaps we won't see the likes of him again. Because the other side of it is you look at the second place finisher, John Kasich. He did it the old-fashioned New Hampshire way. 105, 106, I don't know the exact number, town halls. 20 people, they grew to 40 people, they grew to 100 people, they grew to 300 people over the course of the last month or so. He did it the old-fashioned way, and he too was rewarded, albeit a distant second place.
Yeah, Elsa, let's look at the Democrats and the prom that you were at last night. Let's listen to Bernie Sanders, a little of his victory speech.
Because of a huge voter turnout, and I say huge, we won.
I can't tell if he's mocking Donald Trump's use of the word huge, which as he did on Saturday Night Live, or if he actually also says it that way.
He actually does say it that way. I think he's self-mocking at that point.
Right. Well, but so in this case, you know, they did have a ground game, the Sanders team did. But what else would you say it was?
I think, you know, the people I talked to in New Hampshire, this is a place where politics is conducted in living rooms. It's face to face. And a lot of people in New Hampshire, surprisingly, actually didn't have a good sense of him last May when he first launched his campaign on the shores of Lake Champlain, just right next door in Vermont. But it was meeting him face to face, they said, actually in these intimate settings in this state that made them feel that they could trust him. They, you know, they said that they met Hillary, they met Bernie, and at the end of the day, Bernie Sanders just felt more trustworthy.
jump in on a debate that was waged briefly in our office this morning. I had quoted a Charles Blow, a New York Times column, saying that what's happened with Bernie Sanders is something that happens with college students. Somebody becomes cool, whether it's George McGovern, whoever it is, somebody becomes excitable, but then that hardens into hip. And you're just doing it because everybody's doing it. And there, you know, a lot of pushback on that. No, the people who voted for Sanders really are voting for his ideas. What were you feeling?
Well, I guess it depends who you talk to. I mean, a lot of the young voters I talk to, there's just this very general feeling of excitement that here's a guy who's tapping into a lot of their anti-establishment suspicions of power. And it, you know, it did feel at some point, I was at this rally the night before the primary. It was more of a rock concert. And I talked to a lot of the kids, I should say 20-something-year-olds there. These were college students at the University of New Hampshire. And you got the feeling that they were there for the spectacle of it. It was this big rock concert. They were there with their friends. It was fun. It was joyful. But when I asked them about what they liked about Bernie Sanders, the answers were less specific. They were more about, you know, he makes me feel optimistic. I like that he's for the middle class. I like that he's for people like me. It is sort of a vague feeling now, but maybe that's enough to turn people right out to go to the polling places.
I just want to listen to a little of Hillary Clinton, who, you know, by no means is counting herself out. Let's listen to a little of her clip.
Here's what we're going to do. Now we take this campaign to the entire country. We're going to fight for every vote in every state. We're going to fight for real solutions that make a real difference in people's lives.
Elsa, sometimes you can lose and sort of gain momentum because of the way you lose. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Clinton was very gracious last night. She was very careful not to undercut Sanders and very careful to talk about moving forward to Nevada and South Carolina, where she has, at least right now, a perceived big advantage when it comes to African-American and Hispanic voters. Her organization is very deep there. She has more high-profile endorsements in those groups, which is exactly why Sanders, right after his big win last night in New Hampshire, went straight to New York and had breakfast with Al Sharpton in Harlem. I mean, he knows that if he's going to keep talking about this political revolution that's all-inclusive, and he is going to have to appeal to African-Americans, Hispanic voters. And right now, he doesn't have as much traction in those groups as Hillary Clinton does.
Actually, very briefly, and if you could just touch briefly on this, she seemed to open a new front last night when she said, nobody cares more about the Citizens United Supreme Court case than I do. This is something that Bernie Sanders brings up a lot, this idea of the Supreme Court Citizens United decision that has allowed essentially more money to flow into campaign coffers. And she pointed out that it was all about her. That case was all about her. It was a film that was attacking her, and that was what was being judged. But is that potentially backfire on her, because if you dig deeper, the accusations by the right were that she was taking big money.
Right. I mean, it wasn't even just accusations from the right. A lot of people who are going strong for Bernie Sanders, that's their main criticism of Hillary Clinton, is that she takes so much money from Wall Street. And it was very interesting when I was at a Hillary Clinton rally, even among her supporters, there's some ambivalence about that part of her, that she's taken a lot of large donations from Wall Street. And, you know, some people explain it away, but you could tell that for her, this issue of campaign finance, this issue of getting large donations from Wall Street, that's probably going to be the most troubling issue as she continues along this contest against Bernie Sanders.
And Don Gagne, comment briefly on Chris Christie, who said last night that he was going to go home and assess whether he'd stay in the race.
Chris Christie's legacy here is that he was the one who took Marco Rubio down with that debate performance.
Some say he won greatest defensive end.
Exactly. Yeah. But he got no bounce for doing that. He just never really, really took off, and he needed to do well in New Hampshire, and he didn't.
NPR political correspondent Don Gagne, along with Elsa Chang. She covered the Democrats, he the Republicans. Both of you, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure.